Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 5, we were talking about taking care of the body, but not to be so obsessed with the body that we forget our spiritual needs. Let's continue with that thought today.
Firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Now, we do need to take care of the body, but it is secondary, not primary. No matter how well you take care of this body, one day, if the Lord tarries, this body is going to pass away. Now, it is a sin to be a glutton, and it is a sin to mistreat this body, to affect it with drugs and alcohol and tobacco. And it is a sin to just sit around and allow our bodies to grow fat and not to get out and do some work and to try to be reasonable in our eating and staying in shape. Yes, that is a sin. But my friend, physical fitness is not what we live for. And so we so often find that men give to their pleasures instead of abounding in acts of charity and love. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49, we learn something about Sodom. Now, so often we mention Sodom, and all we think about is homosexuality. But listen to this from Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. That's high-mindedness, okay? Pride. Fullness of bread. In other words, they were rich. And abundance of idleness. They lived for pleasure. There was a lot of pleasure and not as much work. This country at one time, you worked 6 days a week, 10, 12 hours a day. And now we see farmers are still doing that, but so much of this country now is it's 40 hours and then less if they can work it out, and so that they'll have time for all their games and toys and whatever else they have. And so the problems of Sodom, according to Ezekiel 16:49, was pride. Riches or fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. In other words, the cares of this life were more important than the real issues, and they lost their heart of charity and love. The Bible does not discourage the acquiring of wealth. The Bible is not a socialistic instrument nor a communistic instrument. The Bible does not discourage the acquiring of wealth. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, take from him that has the one and give to him that has the ten on rewards. He says, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And the Lord seems to reward some for their efforts, whereas others, they don't do as much and they don't get as rewarded as much. God rewards. So the Bible does not discourage the acquiring of wealth. There is nothing in the epistles that contradict private ownership and profit. Abraham and Lot are good examples of this. They were both very rich. One used his wealth for the Lord. The other used his wealth for his own pleasure. It was not the wealth that was corrupt. It was the heart. Verse 4 here of James chapter 5 says, they kept back the pay from those who reaped in their fields. The rich man here then is a fraud. When you agree to pay for something on time, or you have someone do work for you or provide a service, and then you don't pay, then my friend, you are a fraud and a thief. It's embarrassing when the unsaved tell of a Christian who owes them money, and they apparently have no intention of paying it. We have a Christian school, and we did a survey here a few years ago of looking over past accounts that were never paid. And believe it or not, it went in to over $100,000. And here is a Christian ministry that people said, well, they don't need it. And so a Christian school struggles along, pays its teachers about half of what they're worth and of what the public school teachers receive. And then there are people that feel like they're justified in not paying their bills. And they will give an account of that. I pastored a church where a man owned an Army and Navy store. And he told me he did not give credit. He says when someone owes you, they'll drive by your store and they'll shop somewhere else and not pay it. The one who does not pay does not consider the pain and the loss for the one that they owe. They're only concerned with their own comfort. Again, if you've agreed to pay, you need to pay it as a Christian. Every time when you're owing somebody money, you've borrowed money from somebody, you owe it to them, and you're not paying it, you're behind on your payments, and then you go to a restaurant, you take a vacation, you are stealing. Just like a thief robs a bank, you are stealing from the ones that you owe. Now notice the phrase there in verse 4, the Lord of Sabaoth. That means the Lord of armies or host. And most often that was an Old Testament phrase to speak of the armies of angels. The Lord commands them. And the cries of those that are defrauded come into the ears of the Lord. And we are on the verge of having the same one who saved our souls to be our enemy on this issue. It is an evil thing, not funny, when we've beaten someone out of their money. Now, it's hard to believe that James is writing to Christians. But friend, that is the fact of the matter. And unfortunately, the problem often exists today. Notice verse 5 there of James 5. He says, you have lived in pleasure. In the Greek, it has the notion of excess, self-indulgence, prodigal living, with a special emphasis on self. Indulgence. Now again, nice cars and nice clothes and homes are not evil. But some do not tithe, they do not give to missions in order to have these things. They will not humble themselves to live a little less lavishly in order to be rich towards God. Now we have an example for us, which is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And it's not just an opinion there or consideration. It's something that we should do. And notice what it says. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if we're going to be Christian, which means Christ-like, then we need to let the mind that was in Christ to be in us. Understand, I believe that there are people that are saved that are not Christian because Christian means Christ-like. And there's saved people that get away from God and they don't live Christ-like. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He who made us in his likeness turns around and takes on our likeness. He that was God in heaven, that the angels just desired every moment to carry out his command and his wishes and his desires. He who is honored and has a throne. He who is filled with glory. Emptied himself of all of that he may take on flesh and die for our sins. It says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's reread James 5, verses 5 and 6. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. This is a description of someone who takes advantage of others. Sometimes when this happens, it reveals to the one who is defrauded that maybe money is a real god in his or her life by the desire and the passion they have about the matter, as opposed to the apathy toward the sinful tendencies and worldly ways of so many of God's people. Have you considered the cost of this sin? There's no real eternal joy. Rather, there's a fear of being caught or losing. Unfortunately, I've known people that name the name of Christ that have had to move away from family and friends and really break friendships with their children to go to other places and have no contact because they have done someone out of their money and they can't be trusted. And they have to go to bed every night knowing that there are people in the world that know what they really are. And you lose eternal blessings. And that's the context here of this passage. You're losing out on eternal blessings. Now, friend, you may owe some people and you can't pay them back right now. But instead of owing them the full amount, why not write them and say, I cannot pay you back right now, but I'm going to start sending you $5, $10, or $15, or whatever a week. And you're going to pay it back a little at a time, but you're going to start paying it until you can get back on a regular payment basis and have it caught up. I think that that's the right thing to do, and I think Proverbs tells us that when it says go to them. So do what's right. A selfish Christian looks just like a selfish agnostic. A selfish Christian will act just like a selfish unbeliever. He is interested in himself, and that's it. Only himself. When our text says, ye have lived in pleasure, it does not define the area of pleasure. And I think that's good because times change, but the principle is the same. Ye have lived in pleasure. And what was pleasure to us today may not be pleasure 100 years ago. Or 200 years ago, and especially back in the Bible days. To have been wanton is to have been careless. You have allowed yourself to do whatever the flesh dictates. For example, maybe there was a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, but you went with the crowd where they went. Perhaps there was a Friday revival or conference meeting at church, but you went to a ball game. You did what you wanted to do. I'm alarmed that today we have many that have their boys and girls in little league games, little league baseball and football and softball and basketball and other little league things they do. And if there are games scheduled on Wednesday night or on Sunday, they'll go to the games and they'll justify it with, well, you know, we did make a commitment to the team, and he should be there. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.